Welcome to the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always, freshly unlocked, thanks to a game genie, Kyle JCRB Cross.
I'm all glitchy and weird and doing weird things over here, freaking out, but I'm here.
Arguably, you're the best part of the game, because really, the coding was not that good.
Oh, yeah. The whole game breaks when you unlock me. I mean, that's how broken I am. So you can just kind of go anywhere you want.
Breaking is half the fun.
Exactly. That's how you do it, Ian.
Oh, I'm tired. Story of my life.
Me too.
Before we started recording, I was telling Kyle about how my sleep schedule is kind of like a roller coaster in that it's never a steady one way or the other. And I went to bed early, only for the fire alarm to go off around 2 in the morning. And the concierge usually has a script they go off of. You know, attention, attention, attention. This is building security. The fire department has been notified. Please remain calm and wait for further instruction. And I guess this is the first time the guy was ever on air because he was like, attention, there's an alarm. Don't use the elevators. I mean, you can if you want to, but you really should just use the stairs. I'll let you know when it's happened. The fire department, they know. They know about the alarm. Okay.
I'm scared. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if the building's on fire.
I've been living in this building for like 5 years, and every single alarm has been a false alarm, Kyle.
I believe it.
The adjacent building, not adjacent, but you know, it's part of the complex, so it's just like 50 feet away. I was just chilling out on the porch one night a few years ago, and I hear the fire alarm go off, and I'm going, that sounds loud, but not like it's coming from my unit. Where is that coming from? And all the lights turn on in the opposite building. It's like, oh, you poor sons of guns. I can hear that from 50 feet away through your non-opening windows. Ooh.
Oh, boy. Wow. Is that a louder fire alarm than yours? Or
no, it's the same as ours. It's just, I guess, when you're directly under it, it's so loud that you can't quite feel its piercing presence. It's just there. We had one time where it actually, I think I said this on a previous Bumblecast, where the system broke. And so it blared nonstop for a few hours one day.
Yeah, I remember.
And they had to send maintenance crews in like the next week to make sure everyone still had it installed because people had been ripping it out of their ceilings just to shut it off.
Yeah. I would probably go insane.
Zero blame. And the pillows do not block it out. You can bury yourself as deep as you want into the bed. You can tunnel through till you hit springs. The sound will find you.
No. I hate fire alarms with a burning passion, which is fitting considering what they do. But yeah,
the roof is on fire.
But yeah, they suck. I would almost rather get burned alive.
You say that, but
I said almost.
All right, we've already gone off topic and we haven't even begun the topic. But before we get to the topic, let's announce a Bumble Raffle winner.
Let's do that.
If you want to enter into the Bumble Raffle, just email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com or be a patron over at patreon.com/bumblecast and you'll be entered into every single drawing automatically. This episode's winner is
AE Double.
Congratulations. We will be in touch with you soon to let you know what you've won.
All right. Double that AE. Double your AE and double your fun? Or, I don't know, at least maybe I'll have a little fun with what we're going to send you. We'll see.
Speaking of fun, decided that this episode we're going to take a little bit of retrospective on those halcyon days before everyone was online, before game guides covered every little thing, where you were pretty much at the mercy of whoever picked up EGM that month on the school ground.
Or
we're
you...
talking about...
Yes, go ahead.
We're talking about video game myths and legends, the ones that remain Sasquatchish, and the ones that actually came to be in some fashion.
Yes. Now, most of these did not or did originate online, actually, for the ones that I have, at least. It's like weirdly enough, like, I remember, like, playable Luigi going around on the internet, like, ages ago.
Well, but of course, this was early, like, days when folks couldn't pick out the pixels.
Perpetuated in chat rooms and stuff like that. So things have definitely changed, though, for sure. So the one I remember most fondly, or at least the most, is the Super Mario 64 myth that Luigi is playable, or you can ride on Yoshi. Both of those, like, that was right around the time where I was spending a lot of time on the internet, and also in school, people talking about it, like, oh, you can play as Luigi. There's like a plaque in the back courtyard behind the castle that says L is real 2401, and you stand in front of that star statue and do a bunch of stuff, or like, you do some ridiculous thing, like go get the same star 80 different times. And it's like, what? Why? That doesn't work. And then, of course, there was the early crude photoshops of Luigi in Super Mario 64 that got passed around on the internet that proved that Luigi was in the game. Which, of course, are just stretched and recolored Mario.
The one I remembered was the rideable Yoshi, where it was something insane, like you had to reach one point of the level within a certain amount of time and not use the cannon, and or if it was like you jumped up the castle before you reached the end of the game, you could get them. And I tried.
Right. Yeah.
Heaven knows I tried.
Yeah. I do know that there was the ability to, like, wall. There was a place where you could wall jump up the side of the castle to get up there. And the rumor was is that if you did get up there, there was Yoshi up there. And he's like, oh, hey, Mario, I'm going to join you for the rest of your adventure. And then you could hop on him, ride him around. Not true. Never happened, sadly. Unfortunately, all Yoshi does is say, hey, what's up? And then give you the triple jump, the special triple jump, whatever it's called.
And like 100 lives, I think, which, thanks, already beat the game at that point.
Yeah, I already got 120 stars. What do I need? What do I need 100 lives for? What are you doing to me, Yoshi? I didn't ask for this. I don't want this. So speaking of Mario, though, we got to go classic, though. We got to go classic, because jumping over the flagpole in Super Mario Brothers, that might be like one of the original rumors.
Actually, that one's been proven legit.
Well, I'm not saying you can't jump over the flagpole in Super Mario Brothers, because you can. The whole idea was is that there was something on the other side worth getting.
Oh. No.
Which is
just more frustration.
Which is not true. It's just an endless loop of nothingness. That's all that's on the other side. But there was the ideas of, like, oh, if you jump over in a world 1-1, there's a warp zone directly to world 8, or there's like a special warp zone to world 9 or something like that. There's some kind of weird thing you can access. It's like, no, that's not true. Some kind of bonus. But nope, never happened. Super Mario Brothers 2, a.k.a. Super Mario Brothers The Lost Levels, made it a little easier in some levels to jump over the flagpole.
Oh, really?
And your reward? Reverse warp zones!
Oh, jeez.
So they trolled you. So basically, if you were in, like, world, I forget, like 4 or 5 or something, it would warp you back to world 3 or world 2.
Like, I remember it being legendarily difficult, and you say easier to jump over them. I'm like, why would they give you that? Oh, because it was like prototype Kaizo Mario. Gotcha.
Pretty
okay.
much. Yeah, yes. It wasn't easier in most levels, but in a few of them it was. But yeah, that was basically, you could jump over the flagpole.
That's just mean.
Yeah, it is very mean. You just jump over the flagpole and it's like, ooh, cool, there's something back here. Oh, neat, a warp zone. Nope, you're going back and you're stuck because the screen doesn't scroll backwards in Mario 2. And of course, keeping in the Mario theme, we got to talk about, actually, this one is true, but technically not. Combat.
I was going to say.
Combat in Mario Kart 64. I do remember the screenshots of it going around on the internet at about the same time the Luigi in Mario 64 was happening for me. Kamek actually was intended to be playable in Mario Kart 64, but did not make it to the final game. It ended up being replaced by Donkey Kong, but there are prototype screenshots that show him. And those went around in the early days, and there was also photoshops of Kamek that looked more like the final version that showed him replacing Donkey Kong. Like, you could do something special to unlock him, like you had to do like the same race 150 times and and win every time. Ridiculous stuff like that.
Mirror Toad's Turnpike without hitting anything.
Exactly, yeah. Things like that. And of course it's not true, but you could in fact, or it was in fact based in some level of truth that Magic Koopa Kamek was at least at one point intended to be in Mario Kart 60, which I think is kind of interesting because I don't know why they would put him in and not have Donkey Kong. That was sort of weird considering Donkey Kong Jr. was in the original Super Mario Kart.
So. Their decision on which Kong to use where has been weird over the past 20 years.
Well, their decision on using certain characters over others has been weird.
And sure, then, sure, sure. But I mean, the Kongs, and some of the decisions they made with the Kongs has always been
true.
Odd.
And they've never brought Kamek back for later Mario Karts, have they? I don't think so.
Don't think so.
Mm-mm. It's weird. All right. Our next one is the Triforce in Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. You can't get the Triforce in Ocarina of Time. It's not there. There's
but the videos, Kyle! There were videos showing that you could!
I know,
It looks like it's built-in engine. It has to be in the game somewhere, clearly.
No. It's not there. You can't get it. You can't get an R-Wing, though. That shoots
you. Yeah, that blew my mind when that came out.
That tries to kill you. That's pretty cool, actually. That's a really good use of tech. Like, just reusing tech from other games and stuff. It worked out, but nope, no Triforce in Ocarina of Time. And much like you can't find the Triforce, you can't revive Aerith. This is probably the most famous one on our list.
Yeah, I think this is kind of like the most iconic of them all. Like, every one of them has got some bit of personal attachment to it, but I never played Final Fantasy VII, but even I can appreciate the gravitas.
Oh, yeah.
To bringing back Aerith.
There was...
Or the lack of the ability to do so, I should say.
Yeah, of course, you know, there's all the talk about, oh, can't you just use the Phoenix down? I mean, that's like, you do that during battles, and it's, I don't know, it always happens. But no, it never happens. And apparently nobody had played previous Final Fantasy games where characters also died and you couldn't bring them back. It's like, guys, it's like previous Final Fantasy games, you have characters that die too. It's not just this one time. But
this wasn't a fully rendered at the time.
But this is special. This is my waifu.
Exactly.
I need my waifu back.
And it begs the question, with the remake in the works and presumably coming out before the next shift of the polls. It's such an iconic rumor/idea about the game. Do you think they'll put the option in?
No.
No, not at all?
No.
No chance?
No. They have not even toyed with the idea of bringing her back in any of the ancillary games or media. She's always been only in like flashbacks and in like a weird afterlife dream state. She's never been shown as coming back.
Well, I guess the question again is, the remake meant to be a very one-to-one story remake so that it will fit into the grand pantheon that they have made out of the series? Or is this being considered kind of like a new starting block like the Mega Man X remake was supposed to be?
I would assume it's going to be pretty faithful to the original. That's my thoughts. But I mean, I don't know for sure, but I really doubt they would bring back at least the option to bring Aerith back. Nah, I don't think so. It kind of cheapens. It kind of cheapens the whole thing anyway, man. Kind of cheapens the death. Because if you use a Game Shark to get Aerith back in Final Fantasy VII, which is the only way to revive her, it's like there's weird things that happen. Like she's there, but they won't like acknowledge her. But she talks. She has dialogue at certain parts of the game, and it's just weird when she's when she's around.
We're getting into creepypasta territory now.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. And speaking of characters in games that don't exist, except Aerith does exist, we got to talk about Shang Long and Ermac from Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, respectively. Ermac does exist now, but did not exist initially. Ermac actually came from somebody misconstruing the service menu of Mortal Kombat, where there's an option to turn on and off Ermacs, which is short for error macros, which basically is just like a debug mode, sort of gives you a verbose version of internal messages on screen. So you could turn those on and off in the service menu of Mortal Kombat, but someone saw that and thought, oh, Ermac? Is that some new character? It's like, no, it's just some shorthand for error messages. But then
Mortal Kombat kind of particularly rife with, you know, characters
of course,
that stemmed from a rumor or a palette glitch.
Oh, absolutely, yes. There are tons of those. There's like Red Katana. There are the idea of like some of the specialities that are not fatalities. The other ones like friendships and animalities and babalities. Those are all in sort of response to rumors that people made up around earlier versions of Mortal Kombat. So the developers apparently were like, people were like talking about adding in friendships, or people were talking about friendship options instead of fatalities in Mortal Kombat. And I guess they added them later into later versions of the game, the developers did, just to make them actually real, which is kind of funny.
I like that a lot. I like that kind of cheeky, taking the piss out of yourself style development.
Oh, yeah. And I like the way they just kind of responded to it and took those ideas from their community and actually made them into real things, like making Ermac a real character. It's like, yeah, you could have been just like, eh, no, that's not what Ermac means. But then in later versions, they're like, yeah, there's a character called Ermac. Here he is. He's right here. Check him out. It's cool, huh? Speaking of characters that were added to games later, Shang Long, which you must defeat Shang Long to stand a chance, Ian. But Shang Long is not a real person. It's not even
a person. He wasn't for the longest time.
It's not even a person at all. It's just a bad translation of Shoryuken.
They eventually added him in.
Wait, but no, he's got a different name, though. His name is not Shang Long. His name is, I forget, Gouken? I forget.
Yeah, but isn't it like
he's the brother
Gouken
of
Shenlong or Shenlong Gouken? Like, it's mixed, it's in there somewhere.
It might be. I don't know. I've always just seen Gouken. I know he's the brother of Akuma. That's all I know. But the idea was, you know, you have Ryu's trainer. You must defeat Shang Long. You must defeat my sensei to stand a chance. It's like, no, it's just you must defeat my dragon punch to stand a chance. Thanks, EGM. This one, of course, was like you had to beat the game. You had to beat arcade mode with Ryu like 20 times. It's like, what? Why? Without getting hit to unlock Shang Long. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. I always make these things ridiculous. They're ridiculously unbelievable things.
And the arcades had no problem, since that's a lot of quarters you're burning through.
Oh, of course. But then, of course, you had the home console versions, too, which people tried to say Shang Long was in there. And then, speaking of console versions, you had the blood in Mortal Kombat. Trying to unlock the blood in console versions of Mortal Kombat, where it was censored. Except the Sega Genesis version had a code to unlock the blood, but the Super Nintendo version did not.
I was going to say, because I thought I remembered having a sleepover way back in the day, and a lot of effort went into trying to figure out that code.
Yeah. Yeah, the Genesis version did have, well, it had sweat, which is the stupidest thing. it had sweat, but you could enter a code to change it back to blood. Super Nintendo version did not, but there was always the persistent rumor that you could. There were codes to unlock blood in the Super Nintendo version. It's just a lot harder than Genesis version. But nope, never happened.
Also changed the fatalities, because I distinctly remember...
Oh, yeah.
Somebody managed to pull off Sub-Zero's censored fatality, and he just kind of like taps the dude on the chest and holds up some random orb as the guy falls over, instead of, you know, ripping out his beating heart.
Oh, yeah.
This is kind of collective. Oh, you managed to pull it off. What's it going to be? What's it going to be? Oh, it's... Huh.
Wow. That's anticlimactic. One that's near and dear to my heart, though, Ian, that we got to talk about? Gran Turismo.
You like racing games?
Yeah, I know. It's weird. I was a big follower of the Gran Turismo online community back in the early 2000s. And there was always talk about, you know, the unlocking the legendary McLaren F1, which was the fastest car at the time, fastest production car at the time. And then, of course, Lamborghinis, Porsches, and Ferraris in Gran Turismo, which never happened because they didn't have the licenses at the time. But there was always talk about, oh, they're secret, they're hidden away. You can unlock them with a Game Shark, or you can do you do certain races to unlock them, and like you do certain races 100 times and have to win every time. And it's like, what? This is weird. Why would you do this? Or you have to get 100 cars. You get 100 cars in your garage to unlock the McLaren F1. The only problem is your garage limit is 100 cars. It's like, what? It doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, but there was always a talk about, like, oh, secret cars, cars that should have been in there, but never were at the time, at least. Now, they've got the license for all the cars, so it's not nearly as prominent. But back then, it was like, oh, there's like, you can unlock car damage by doing certain things too, because it used to be the cars wouldn't get damaged at all because, well, car manufacturers are weird.
Mm-hmm. We don't want to imply that our machines can be damaged in any way.
Yeah.
It's not like a fault of the car, sir. It's they're driving into a wall. Heresy! Our cars are flawless at all times.
It's a lot less prevalent now, luckily. But yeah, at the time, it was like, oh, no damage on cars at all. You'll hit something and you'll just bounce right off. Boing. It's weird. It's very weird. But they've luckily changed that. But, you know, there's like ways to unlock damage and things like that. So, shifting over to shooters, though. One of the most famous shooters of all time. We got to talk about GoldenEye.
Oh, man. That thing was so full of stuff that pretty much anything was believable. Oh, yeah, you can unlock this. Well, of course, because everything else is there. DK mode is legit. Invisibility mode is legit.
Paintball mode.
That's like legit. That. So, yeah, of course. Of course all this other stuff is in there.
Yeah. Like being able to unlock all bonds, all the previous movie bonds. Like, oh,
now,
sure.
That was planned. That was
planned, yes.
Intended, but what was it? They couldn't get the rights to Sean Connery or something.
They couldn't get the rights to They couldn't get the rights to the other likenesses. I think
of them. I thought it was just like one, and so they figured, if we can't have them all, why do it at all?
Oh, maybe that might have been it. It probably was Connery, but I know they did plan that, and Rare even claimed that it was still in the game after release. They lied. It's not there. They're not there anymore. But I mean, it would be kind of cool to be able to do four-player as all bonds. So, and also the secret Citadel level, something else Rare also lied about, saying that it was an actual level. It's like, no, it's just a test area where there's nothing. It's just random things that don't mean anything. It's not like an actual secret level. So, yeah, Rare likes their Easter eggs and their jokes, but they also tend to lie. It's weird.
It's just a little bit of cheeky humor. I don't remember the Citadel. I do remember the island off of the dam, though, that you could only see with like the sniper rifle.
Yep.
If you brought it in, and there were all sorts of rumors about you had to get to the dam within a certain amount of time. And I think it was hit the alarms in a certain order and rush down to this one point, a boat will have spawned and you can take that to the island and it would have some kind of super weapon on it. And no, none of that was true at all, ever.
Nope.
In any capacity.
Nope. With a game shark, you could get to that island, but there was nothing there. Like, even
I think there were even like some like prototype beta, what you call it, the things on the front that make
the turret? Visual.
No. Textures! The, there the we textures? Go.
Okay.
Beta textures in there. It's a complete junk data area.
Yeah, well, there's also like a weird facade of a turret that's not real. It's not an actual gun or anything. It's just like a textured block that looks kind of like a turret. And that's out there. That's all that's there. There's nothing there. But it's just useless. It's just there for show. Just there to be able to kind of see it maybe through the fog a little bit with your sniper rifle. Because everything was foggy in Nintendo 64 days. Oh, man. Speaking of foggy, how about fog from bombs? With the rumor of Bomberman being in Smash Brothers Brawl.
You really ought to do stretches before you reach like that.
Yeah, I know. And Rayman in Smash 4 talking about mans. If we're talking about two mans, we got to talk about Rayman and Bomberman being in Smash Brothers.
Yeah, the Rayman one still kind of perplexes me because...
It really does. It seems like he should be kind of a shoo-in at this point.
But he didn't even get an assist trophy this time around.
No, he's not in it at all.
And then, Bomberman did, so I don't know.
Nintendo has a really good working relationship with Ubisoft, so you'd think they'd be like, oh, yeah, throw in Rayman. He has a spirit in Ultimate, but I don't think he has an assist trophy.
Nope. And that spirit, I think, is based off of Sonic, who was supposed to be in Melee, because clearly, obviously.
Oh, of course. That was a real thing. Sonic and Tails... This one actually came from EGM. It's like the jerks. Sonic and Tails and Smash Brothers Melee. Woo, yeah, cool.
Just no. Beat, what was it, 10 enemies in Cruel Melee?
Yeah, something like that. And
Kyle, I nearly broke my controller in half. I wanted them so bad.
I don't think I actually saw this until much later, sadly. I don't think I saw the April Fools. So I didn't get suckered into it, but because I think it started to resurface about the time Sonic was announced for Brawl. And there was like, oh, yeah, there was this old thing back in 2002 of Sonic and Tails being in Smash Brothers Melee. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm glad I wasn't paying attention back then, because I'd have probably sat there for hours trying to unlock Sonic and Tails and probably done the same thing you did, probably thrown controllers around and broke them in half and. Just been...
Never got truly violent, but I probably burst a few blood vessels in my brain and won't live past 50. But!
That's okay. Yeah. The perpetuation of Sonic being in Smash Brothers. Well, now Nintendo has done it themselves. How dare they?
Tails is still relegated to a background character in one stage, but...
Yeah. Along with
maybe all, next game, little buddy.
Along with all of Sonic's other friends, which he has many, because he has a lot of friends. He's a very...
Yeah, I mean, you get Shadow and Knuckles as assist trophies. That's something.
True. Sonic is a very social creature, apparently.
Too social, according to the CDC, but that's something else entirely.
Oh, wow. Don't nuzzle your hedgehogs, folks. Don't cuddle them. Anyway, speaking of Sonic, I remember all of the Sonic and Knuckles lock-on hoaxes. Like, you had to enter a secret code to be able to play as Knuckles in Sonic 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that was the big one. Or that you could play as Knuckles in other games. Like, you could, like, put on Streets of Rage, lock on Streets of Rage, and you could play as Knuckles in Streets of Rage, which sounds kind of amazing.
I was super big into, what was it called, X-Men Clone Wars, or something like that. And, like, that game started off randomly picking your character and dropping you into the intro level.
Mm-hmm.
There was no title screen. It was just, boom, your character drops in, and if you wanted somebody else, you just had to reset the system and hope for the best. Woe be unto you if you were playing two-player co-op and wanted a specific pairing. But, Kyle, I had dreams of Knuckles appearing in that stage. You just booted up, and you know the first tone of the level starts, and Knuckles drops down. It's like, oh my god, this would work. It would be so cool. Hoops dashed on the rocks like a ship.
I tried
no survivors.
Yep. I tried every game that I owned on top of Sonic and Knuckles, and every game I rented on top of Sonic and Knuckles, and none of them ever worked.
And salt on the wound, I hated Blue Sphere. So it was like it was mocking me.
See, I don't mind
Blue Sphere. Oh, you wanted this really cool option? No way, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba, you can't play what you want to play on the system because we don't have the technology to make the two games work together because you don't understand how games work and the coding doesn't work at all the way that you want it to. And I need to take a breath because I'm going to pass out because the song doesn't stop, it just keeps looping it.
I love Blue Sphere. I'm not going to lie. I don't know. Maybe it's because I had a lot of practice with it. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm good at twitchy, fast reflex games.
Gave me migraines.
At least I was. I don't know. I like Blue Sphere. I don't mind it at all. It gets a little annoying on the harder difficulties, but it's fine.
I mean, as a principle, sure, it's a perfectly fine puzzle thingy. I personally have aneurysms over it.
Is that why you don't put it in any comics? I don't know. I have no idea if you do, if you have or not. Actually, now that I think about it, it's like, wait a minute. Why would you use Blue Sphere in any comics? That makes sense.
I'm pretty sure we had a cameo during Volume 1, but
I'm sure there had to be at least some point where Fear happened. Anyway, you've got a few that you wanted to talk about from Pokemon.
Yeah, the two that I will always remember because they were so prevalent. With a whole bunch of, this is totally legit. No way! Yes, it is! And I'm me being gullible would try it in secret. But the one that really tickles me is early on, I think it was like Gen 1 or Gen 2, the rumor was that if you caught a Lickitung and evolved it at level whatever while holding your Game Boy upside down, it would turn into either Luigi or a Yoshi.
Okay, I've never heard of this one.
And I knew it was wrong because there was no gyroscope in the game cartridge, but
yeah,
it sounded so weird. Why would someone make up something that random? Maybe it is legit. And the funny thing is, many years later, I forget which generation it is, but there's a little squid called Inkay, and if it evolves at a certain level and you hold your 3DS upside down because it has a gyroscope in it, it will evolve into, was it Malamar or something? If you don't turn your 3DS upside down, it doesn't evolve right.
Huh. That's very weird.
You have to turn it upside down. And it's so specific, I kind of wonder if it is a response to that schoolyard thing.
Huh. Yeah, it very well could be. But yeah, I don't even... This is the one I've not heard of at all. It's like...
And the other one everyone knows is the truck sitting out in the middle of the water in red and blue. Use strength, push the truck, find a Pokeball. Mew is in there. The truck exists.
Yep.
The truck is real. It is the only vehicle in that entire game. But there's so many weird coding frouhahas in that thing that why not?
Sure.
The bigger mystery is why is there a truck, not that there is no Mew underneath it.
Yeah. Well, isn't that the same area also where Missing No happens, or am I conflating?
No, Missing No happens here. Once you queue up any number of other glitches, and it can be one of the random ones that attacks you.
Okay. So Missing No, but Missing No is kind of like a... There were rumors about what Missing No was supposed to be, but it turns out it's just a game glitch. It's nothing specific. But there was talk about like it being like, oh, it's a weird Pokemon that was this like... It's just made up of glitches, and it's like, what? It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand.
And once you played around with Missing No, you could all have all sorts of fun stuff like randomly fishing up Professor Oak, who attacks you with an Articuno. Because why not?
That's I know that he, it's just kind of weird that Pokemon has such a, there's like a, this horrific underbelly of Pokemon that always seems to turn up. Like, I don't know, Pokemon is weirdly dark. And I think
because the original story, as it was intended, was supposed to be, you know, truly post-apocalyptic. It was kind of bleak. Yeah. And then it got sanitized real hard, real fast.
Yep. It's just a very weird... To me, Pokemon's always been very weird, just in general.
It is. All of its little ghost subplot stuff always creeps me out. It's not overtly scary. And if you have anything resembling a spine, I'm sure it's more entertaining than anything. But Yellow Belly that I am, all of its little ghosty things just creeps me out. There's one game where there's this haunted mansion in the woods, and if you enter at like midnight, this little girl walks off screen as you enter the room, and that's it.
Yep.
Can't talk to her, can't follow her. It's just this little thing that passes by. Next thing on the list.
So these weird, creepy horror elements is just strange. I don't know. Something Pokemon really loves to do. Anyway, speaking of creepy, we're talking about the real McCoy of codes. Probably the most famous or infamous ones. Nude codes.
Because everyone wants to see Mario out of them overalls, right?
Uh-huh. Totally. Right? Totally. And they finally got their wish in Odyssey.
This is true. What a stir it caused.
Indeed it did, actually.
Oh, no. Mario's a mammal. Heavens to Betsy.
How dare he be human? Quote, unquote.
What passes for human in that universe?
Sure, except unless you're from New Donk City, in which case you're like a more regularly proportioned human, and Mario's just a weird outlier.
Yeah, except those people talking like Peanuts Womp Womps. That's somehow creepier.
Yeah, and they all talk like New York gangsters.
Yeah, stuff like Lara Croft out of Tomb Raider and
of course. The
entirety of Dead or Alive, which, given the, what is it? Is it supposed to be like the volleyball game series?
Just Dead or Alive Extreme. There's not even any pretense about it just being a volleyball game anymore. It's really just a dating simulator.
Some of the swimsuits, quote unquote, it might as well be.
Oh, yeah.
A nude cheat. I mean, come on.
Right. And then, of course, there was always the idea that, you could see Metroid out of her, or Metroid? In Metroid, you could see Samus out of her suit.
You need to calm down with an ice missile there, buddy.
Yeah, apparently. Out of her armor.
I know Mother Brain does it for you, but come on. We're recording.
You can see her out of her armor at the end of the game, but if you beat the game even faster, you can see her out of her everything. It's like, no, that's not true.
I think I read somewhere that in the development of Super Metroid, early in development, her death animation did have everything fly off for like a brief second. And they thought, maybe let's dial that back a bit. And it's like, yeah, why don't you do that? Maybe that's not the best idea.
Maybe it's like trying to get things past the TV sensors. You just go to the extreme and then you dial it back a little bit. So that way it's not so crazy. But yeah, I do remember these being very, very prevalent. I mean, as a teenager in the mid to late 90s, this is definitely a big schoolyard thing. And it wasn't even just like games where there was a sexual aspect to it, like a nude code for Claire in Resident Evil 2, for example. It's like, why? I mean, I'm not to say that Claire isn't an attractive woman, but it seems a little like, why would she get naked in this post-apocalyptic zombie?
A game that is revolving around gore and horror and survival really needs the titillation. That's the little bit of spice.
Of course.
That the pasta is missing there.
Of course, of course. Yeah. So, but there was definitely a ton of those. I remember in a magazine, and I want to say it was EGM, but I cannot find anywhere. There was actually an April Fool's joke of some Photoshop Tomb Raider screenshots of an entire game where you play as a naked woman.
Mm-hmm.
That was it looked very similar to Tomb Raider, but it was intended to be something else. And it was just a nude woman going around. And it's like, I'd almost believe this game was real. And I just kind of accepted it. And then I found out later it was a joke. And I'm like, oh, okay. I never even really thought about it. I just thought it was kind of weird. It was kind of strange. It was definitely strange at the time, but I don't know. I kind of believed it because I'm like, well, I don't know. Video games are weird. So
we don't have the bar that low? Oh, okay. I'll move it back up again.
Yeah.
I'd actually have to duck now.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. So, but yeah, those were hugely prevalent on. I'm trying to think of even if there were older games that had that. Metroid's the only one I can think of where it's like, oh, you beat it even faster and you get to see her with no clothes on. It's like, all right, you want to see a couple little dots?
All them curvy 8-bits.
All them little dots on a sprite? Okay, cool. Have fun with that. Of course, there were ROM hacks that eventually added this stuff in because they...
It'd be easier just grabbing a piece of graph paper and a pencil. I mean, if that's what does it for you, scribble away there, bucko. But
sure. Geez, there was even ones about Peach. Now that I remember, you beat Mario at a certain time limit, and you get to see the princess naked at the end. It's like, what? Okay,
surprise! It's actually Bowser. Have fun with that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe some people are into Bowser.
And we have come full circle. Now that before we go any further with this, we're gonna stop right there. And wait. What?
We are stopping. We're done. That's it.
Oh, I thought you said wait.
But we do want to ask you guys, what are some of your favorite video game hoaxes, urban legends, myths, stuff like that? Any that we haven't talked about, or maybe ones we have, and you got something you want to add? I don't know. I just remember a lot of these, going around in the schoolyard or in chat rooms on AOL, just weird things. I remember actually, I think I talked to somebody in a chat room who sent me that Luigi Photoshop, and I believed it. I was a gullible kid. I believed it, and I'm pretty sure I tried to unlock it, but I never could. Never
now,
could.
Were they trying to trick you, or were they just sharing the good news that they had heard?
Never could get Luigi. I don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... I think they might have believed it themselves, but they hadn't been able to unlock him either, if I remember right. But they had the proof. Look, it's like, look right here, just a screenshot. It's like, well, all right. I mean, you got a screenshot. That looks legit to me. What do I know? I'm 13 years old. Or no, at the time I'd have been 10, 11, somewhere around there. Yeah. So anyway, whatever your favorite urban myths, legends, and hoaxes are, let us know. We'll talk about them.
And while you tell us what made you question reality, we're going to move on to questions about us.
Indeed. Mostly about you, Ian. But hey, that's cool.
Yeah. So it goes.
Sure. Time to get into the Q&A. You can email us, bumblecast@yahoo.com, on Twitter, @bumblecast, down in the YouTube comments, or via Patreon comments or messages. You can ask your questions in all of those places, and we'll get to them eventually, here, there, everywhere. If you've sent your question before and it's been months, let me know, and I'll try to see what I can do about bumping them up, because sometimes that happens. We have a lot of places we take questions from, and things get kind of buried. First up, priority Q&A. And of course, our good buddy Scruffy Matt starts us off, like he always does. He says, I'd just like to once again congratulate Ian and the rest of the IDW team on completing the first season of the new Sonic comics.
Thank you so much.
Ian, how do you feel the first 12 issues went? And can you tell us anything about what you're hoping to accomplish in season 2?
The first year rocketed by. I don't think any year of comics or any story arc I've worked on went that fast.
Well, it helps that you had 4 issues in 1 month.
That's true. That's true. That's true. But just, I don't know, because it was a new publisher and because it was a new relationship with Sega, a lot of it was very, very different than what I had grown used to with the other series. And by the time season one was wrapped up, it's like, oh, I guess we're moving on to season two. Sure. Okay. Of course I got plans for that. Let's go. And I don't know. It felt like it was very, very fast paced, and not to say that it was rushed. It felt like it was just a very different experience than the kind of comfortable way that I'd settled into before. For season two, we are definitely amping up the stakes. We've got new characters, new game characters finally showing up where they were intended in season one and just couldn't make the cut for whatever reason. So you'll be seeing some familiar faces show up. And when I pitched the idea for season two to Sega, I was like, there's no way they're going to approve this, so here's my backup plan. And they were very receptive to it. Uh-oh. And asked some interesting questions that, you know, allowed me to approach it from a certain direction. It's like, okay, they're cool with it. They're really letting me get away with some of this stuff. All right. And here we go. So, you know, season one got us used to what IDW Sonic is. It introduced a ton of new people to the very idea of Sonic comics. I don't think long-term fans really understand just how many new people have come into the fold thanks to the comic. Folks who know Sonic as far as he's the blue guy that runs fast.
Mm-hmm.
So that they maybe know Tails, they kind of know Amy is the pink girl, Knuckles is the red one. Now, folks who don't know Sonic at all are just getting into this series. So, season one, got everybody together, we set the ground, we set the tone, and year two is where we kind of just up the stakes and go a little nuts with it.
Stakes. You can always up the stakes. More stakes. I'm going to up my steak intake. I know that much. Anyway. Next question from Zenos. Do you, Flynn, have any project for Honey the Cat for the IDW comic? I really loved how you used her previously in the Archie comic, so I'm really looking forward to seeing her back.
I haven't pitched anything with Honey in it yet, but I'm willing to bet she's going to be classic exclusive like Mighty and Ray. Now, I have nothing to base that off of, aside from the fact that Mighty, Ray, and the Hooligans are classic exclusive, which caught us a little bit of surprise at the very beginning of season one, but, you know, new book, new publisher, new relationship, some things fall through the cracks. So if all of them are exclusive, and since Honey's only appearance was in the classic styled Sonic the Fighters, I am willing to bet that she would fall under that same umbrella. We don't know until I try. We'll see. But if it happens, I won't be surprised.
That's a shame. I guess you just have to do a classic Sonic book.
Yo, I absolutely, legitimately, if you guys want to see a classic book, email and tweet to IDW. The fact that we are getting a Tangle and Whisper team-up miniseries in the second year is nuts. Huge commitment on IDW's part, and it is solely because of fan demand. You guys went so nuts over Tangle and Whisper that they got this mini this early on in the life of the book. So if you want a classic book, demand it. Ask for it. Say, I will give you monies for this. And I think it stands a good chance of happening.
Oh, yeah. All right, next one comes from Saturn Flicky. When creating a new Sonic character, how do you decide what animal they should be? Do you usually have a species in mind from the get-go? Do other members of the team offer their input? Has any character changed species during the design process?
It varies from character to character. Some I have a very distinct look in mind, and others not so much. And all of them are definitely highly contributed to by whoever's designing. Like, usually I'll have a design document typed up that either specifies exactly what I'm thinking, or if I don't know exactly what I want, the broad themes, and kind of let them go from there. Tangle, for instance, was initially conceptualized as a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing was supposed to be that her ears were all grabby, as a callback to the early prototype designs for what would become Sonic, and later Rystar. And as it got developed, Rabbit was taken off the table. What else can get that stretchy, scrapper thing going on? We went through a bunch of different species. Tyson Hess did a bunch of different designs. And the ringtail lemur is what we settled on. And he did the design, and Sega came back with notes on which palette they preferred, and, you know, tweaks to the design, and fantastic. Rough and Tumble, I did not have a species in mind at all. I could not settle on one idea. Sometimes they were two different species, sometimes they were the same thing. I really didn't know, but I knew who they were supposed to be. So when that went to Tyson, I'm like, dude, do your thing. You're amazing. I know it will come out great. And I believe he said that we don't really see a lot of mustelid species in popular culture, period. So he went with skunks. And the result was Rough and Tumble, and they look fantastic because Tyson is brilliant, and I would sacrifice a limb to some dark entity to have half his skill, but that's neither here nor there. And yeah, it really depends on the character and what I want to do with it.
With that, let's move on into the standard Q&A. First one comes from the illustrious Q. I wonder, Ian, does Eggman have a garage filled with nothing but attachments for his Eggmobile? This is in reference to his car for Team Sonic Race, or
and
his car in
not.
Any other games.
Of course not. He doesn't have a garage. He has many garages.
I figured he just would like make them every time. Like, oh, I need this. We're going racing. I need to make a a thing that a car attachment for my Eggmobile. He'd just do that every time and make a new one every time. But
I imagine that once he fills one up, he's got another going on, and he forgets which garage has what, and so he probably has duplicates or variants on each attachment that he just doesn't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Because a genius of his caliber can't be contained to a single garage worth of stuff.
Oh, yeah, they're like Tony Stark's Iron Man suits where he's got like 50 of them. But
exactly.
But he only needs one. I mean, I don't know. All right, the next one comes from JCJ. Hi, I'm a big fan of your work in the Archie Sonic comic book, and I had a quick question. You remember Jacques and Belle, Bunny and Antoine's kids, characters you created from Mobius 30 years later? I was wondering, were Jack and Belle born with their robotic limbs, and did they get them when they were older?
Man, I remember the debates on the old Bumble King forum when these issues came out. People, you know, saying, well, clearly not. That doesn't make any sense. And others going, well, where else would they come from? Yes, they did. Well, they couldn't have grown up with them. Well, maybe they got cybernetics along the way. And Bob, back and forth and back and forth. And the true answer is, I don't know. I never got that far with their backstories. I thought it was kind of fun to have the Bunny and Antoine have twins that were kind of a reflection of their key traits combined.
Yeah.
And Tracy made some fun designs out of it. And that was it. I figured if Mobius 30 years later proved interesting, popular enough that we could return and explore these characters deeper, then I might delve into whether they were born lacking limbs and had to get the prosthetics, or if it was something they did voluntarily, you know, show support to mom, or through some kind of weird chicanery, they always had them. It wasn't something I ever fully pinned down. Or if I had, it's been so long, I don't remember. But really, with those two, if you're still attached to them, I'm glad. Whatever your headcanon is, run with it.
Alrighty, and our last question to wrap up this fine, fine episode of the Bumblecast. I'm calling it now, before we're even done, Ian. we're good. We're doing a good show. If I keep saying that, it might be true. I keep telling myself that. Maybe it'll happen. Anyway. R.L. Ozermalamed, I think. Ozermalamed. That's the best I can do. I'm sorry if I mispronounce that. Says, hi, Ian and Kyle. Thank you, too, for your podcast. Well, thank you for listening.
For 2 years, even.
I have been listening to it for 2 years. Yeah, man. Jeez, wow. That's longer than I've been listening to it. My question, as writers and consumers, what style and storytelling do you prefer? Original and unique with full of plot holes? You know, the Cynomason's victims, or stories that make full scientific and logical sense?
Is it Cynomason, or is it supposed to be CinemaSins?
Oh, is that what it says?
I think that's what it's supposed to be.
CinemaSin? Okay. Well, I okay. It just looks weird. That's not how you spell CinemaSins.
Maybe normally. I'm presuming and putting words into RL's mouth. I don't know.
It probably is supposed to be CinemaSin.
Question directed at you. Go for it. You first.
I'm like a rule of cool kind of guy. Like, you know, if something is not necessarily super believable, but it's fun, I'm kind of down with it. Like, I'll make fun of something that, like, usually it's a technology thing. Like, say, geez, I'm trying to think. Like, there's a scene in Luke Cage season one where they're trying to use a computer that has an exposed hard drive with the top removed on it so you can actually see the platter spinning and the thing spinning back and forth, and they're able to use it. That's not supposed to be possible in real life, generally. You get a lot of data degradation really fast, but they were able to use it just fine that way. And I think I make fun of things for that. I'm like, oh, that's not how that works. But I'm fine with it. It's a lot cooler to see a hard drive actually doing its thing and spinning around and having the right head back reading back and forth than just to have like a hard drive sitting there that just does nothing. So I get it. In the instance of rule of cool, I think that kind of works. But I mean, that's generally where I lie. Like, if it's I don't necessarily like plot holes, but if you're having fun with it, I'm okay with that. How about you, Ian?
I'm willing to forgive a bit, but I prefer a tight ship. Right? As long as it is something plays by its own rules and covers its bases, I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt for the most part. Not everything has to be explained down to the smallest minutia. That's fun to do on your own as a fan, but I don't want something to get bogged down with every little detail. I'm willing to let some things slide. Case in point, Captain America: Civil War. Love that movie to death. Love what it does in a lot of things. About the point where we get to the airport and onward, time seems to get really weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how fast are they able to grab Ant-Man and get to Germany in a beat-up wagon? How? Steve and Bucky are already off to Siberia while Tony has time to get a cast, get out of armor, take care of Rhodey, go to the raft, interview Rhodey, leave, follow. No, sorry. That I give you so much love, Russo brothers, but that's kind of pushing it. Or stuff like in the actual airport fight, which I love the choreography, I love the flow to it all, but Vision just kind of doesn't do anything for a long time until he does, and then it's like, oh yeah, he could have ended this fight by himself.
Yeah, which is why he doesn't do anything. Yeah. I think both you and I kind of see things similarly. Like, I'm okay with like things being done for the sake of being cool, but I still like a nice, concise story. But
the rest of that movie I really adore because of the way it progresses. To me, feels logical for the individual characters, for their decisions, and how they move from point to point to point. Even with the jaded outlook of, oh, they got Spider-Man back at the last second, here's how they shoehorned him into the movie, it still felt like things fit. And so I'll kind of just smile and nod towards the third act as time gets wibbly wobbly, that kind of thing. As long as you play by your own rules and you don't really have any major logical gaffes, I am okay with it. I want that. If it isn't actually cohesive, I want it to at least superficially feel cohesive,
yeah,
and not be too easy to scratch off the veneer.
I like for things to kind of make sense in their world. Like, maybe it's not how it would be in real life. Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah.
Maybe the science isn't actually up to snuff in reality. But if you're playing by your own rules, that's perfectly fine. I don't mind that too much. And technology is kind of a wibbly-wobbly thing anyway. People are more willing to forgive certain things or don't even understand certain things aren't allowed, like a hard drive being exposed to regular air causes it to die. It's like, well, nobody really knows that except for really nerdy people like me. So it doesn't really matter.
Or to get away from the technological angle, like Steven Universe, where most of the principal cast are hard light constructs generated from space stones.
Right.
Why do they look gendered at all, female or male? Why do they have a concept of clothes? Why do they have a need to speak? Why do they have hard light bodies at all? How do they generate the mass that's needed for the weaponry? Because in that universe, they do, okay? Cool.
Pretty much.
Run with it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just kind of like things
they're
like
magic space lady rocks. Okay, I gotcha. Let's... We're on board.
Exactly.
Tell me the rest of the story.
Yeah. Or like Samus in Metroid. She's raised by Chozo. So how would she, like, either know English or know clothes or anything like that?
No, she was raised on a human colony before the Chozo.
Oh, okay.
And then after the Chozo were wiped out, she enlisted in the Galactic Federation. So she had human exposure.
Okay. See,
and how does she go from this Amazon-esque statuesque woman into a bowling ball? Chozo technology. Why? Because they're that advanced. Gotcha. Cool.
Magic. She's
go bird people.
She's very limber. she has a really good I don't know. What does she do? She does freaking Pilates. I don't know. Is that a thing? Whatever increases your flexibility. She does that. There we go. We've made logic and science of it. Anyway, that's going to do it for the Q&A on this episode of the Mumblecast, which coincidentally will also do it for this episode of the Mumblecast.
Kyle, where can folks find you once they're done listening to all this audible goodness?
You can find me on Twitter at KyleJCRB. Or you can head on over to KNGI.org, the home of Nitro Game Injection, my other show, which streams live every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen and get some awesome video game remix tunes in your ears and in your face, but mostly in your ears, because that's what you do with music. But a little bit in your face, too, because, well, I mean, you got to blow your face off somehow. And, of course, you can also find archived episodes of the Bumblecast. And can find the RSS feeds and all that good stuff there as well. What about you, Ian?
You can find me over at bumbleking.com. That has my con schedule, the release schedule of all my books, news, full portfolio, all sorts of good stuff. Or head over to Twitter at IanFlynnBKC and see me do it less this year because, honestly, I need a break from social media.
Social media. It's weird. If you get contacted by a lot of people very frequently, social media is it can be pretty harrowing. I'm lucky. Nobody cares about me.
You are very, very lucky, sir.
All right. Don't forget, you can also follow the show on Twitter at Bumblecast and email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com and leave your questions, comments, and everything all there. And let us know what some of your favorite video game myths are. I'm pretty interested to see what else is out there, because I definitely do not know them all.
You can catch us streaming for Bumblecast Gaming over at twitch.tv/BumblecastGaming. And patrons, we stream exclusively for you Sunday nights in the evenings around 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sundays.
And don't forget to go check out the Bumble store, shop.spreadshirt.com/bumblestore, where you can buy some Bumble merch for your Bumble body or your Bumble stuff. You can just buy some Bumble stuff. I don't know. Can you buy there? We got shirts. Just about anything. We got shirts,
mugs,
hats,
jumpers for babies, I believe.
Babies?
Warp your children from a very early age.
And that's it. Oh, don't forget, we got to give a shout out to the patrons.
We absolutely must. Thank you to all these fine folks who continue to keep the show running. Thank you to Daniel H., Eric F., Alex P., Saturn Flicky, Xanos, Duas Diz Din, Scruffy Matt, Chris A., John B., Samuel P., Jennifer R., David C., Revan Light, Lisa M., Sam Cybercat, Digama F. Wow, Mike B., Joshua S., Super Dragonflan, AE Double, Brody M., Neil H., Justin F., Justin G., Dan M.S., Adam T., Silly String, Takaro, Screen Scroll Too Much, Lee H. K., Chevelle, Don B., Sin Fritz, Taco El Gato Comics, John M., James K., Papadrapodopoulos, Overthinking Films, Adam B.T., and Ron.
Ron! Thank you, Ron. And everybody else. You are
it's
all
three breaths this time. I need to go to the gym.
You are all the awesomeness. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's our list is getting longer.
Also a possibility. That's going to wrap us up. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Good night, everybody.
Bye. Don't forget, unlock Luigi. You can unlock Luigi in this episode by, how can you unlock Luigi in this episode, Ian? You have to listen to it like 25 times in a row, complete.
25 times without the system having to reboot while your computer is upside down.
Got it, yes. The computer upside down is very important. Or your MP3 player has to be upside down.
Or you just lock it onto your other laptop.
Or that.
And then you come, and then you unlock Luigi inside the Bumblecast. It's Luigi inside the Bumblecast. And you don't have to do anything. Look at the Luigi. And I can't improvise off the top of my head and match the meter of this song. It's really freaking annoying. Why are you still listening to this? Just click a button. Go to another episode or a Bumblecast gaming thingy. And let me please just stop this. Kyle, cut off, please. Just close Discord and cut me off. I can't stop. Please call the police. I need help. I can't stop singing the stupid song. Oh, God, it won't get out of my head.
You can unlock Luigi in Blue Sphere. Oh, no. I'm in Blue Sphere. I'm Luigi. Wah!
You've been listening to The Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information, along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at bumbleking.com and kngi.org.
If you want to enter into the Buffalo...
If you want to enter into the Buffalo raffle... You can win a buffalo.
All you gotta do is buffalo a buffalo from Buffalo.